Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Leadership for Tomorrow, starting now. My name is Hugo Santos. I'm the lecture assistant lecturer at the University of Wyoming here in Casper, and this is my co-host.
Hello, Rochelle Green. I'm the director for our organizational leadership program. Thank you for joining us.
And today we have an awesome guest. We have Robbie Alexander. So Robbie is currently the developing markets officer for Farm Credit Services of America. Robbie has been involved in lending since 2015 and spends the majority of the time focused on young and beginning farmers and ranchers in this role. He has the opportunity to follow his passion of working with farmers and ranchers by helping them reach their dreams in the agriculture industry. Robbie grew up in Western Kentucky, working as a farm and ranch hand for various operations. Robbie graduated from Murray State University, where he acquired a bachelor's and master's degree in agricultural science with an emphasis in education. In his free time, you can often find him spending time with his wife and young daughter on horseback or helping neighboring ranchers. Welcome, Robbie. How's it going today?
Welcome.
Thank you. It's great. I'm excited to be here talking to good people such as yourselves and learning more about the program, but also sharing some of my experiences with you. So thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. So just to kind of get us started, Robbie, because our listeners, I mean, what a wonderful area to do what you do. I mean, with ag being a leading industry in Wyoming, if you had some words of wisdom for anyone wanting to start out in the ag business, what might that be?
Oh, that's a loaded question, and I make the joke, it's $1 million question, yeah. And that's the literal truth. But the true advice I give anybody is get started. There is a lot of naysayers in agriculture right now saying young people can't do it. You can't do it unless you come from a family background. You can't do it because of this. You can't do it because of that. But we're at such an interesting time in agriculture. Agriculture is not what it has been for the past 80 years. You know, I truly believe agriculture is getting back to its roots because we have so many opportunities with young farmers and young ranchers to do it kind of the way our great-great-grandparents did. You know, I think back to in my family, my great-great-grandparents sold their products directly to grocery stores. And we're seeing that more often. They were direct to consumer. And our young folks today, and even anybody starting out first generation, if they just get started, you don't have to build a model of what you see on TV. You don't have to build a model that you see in traditional agriculture as we've come to know it. Just get started. If it's a few tomato plants, great. You're an agriculturalist. Take advantage of that. You can do it in a window sill. You can go out and find one restaurant that'll buy your 5 tomato plants and build from there. It's just get started is my biggest advice.
That's wonderful and so true. Growing up in the Flathead Valley up in Montana, I've been hearing that since I was a little girl, that if your family does not have at least 100 acres, then your chances of farming and ranching up there is pretty low just because property and everything got really expensive.
You know, and that's unfortunately how we've been taught to look at it, is you've got to have property, you've got to have this. And we are in a time where, is it tough? Yes. Is it hard to buy real estate? Yes, because we have a lot of outside factors in that. But we're also at a unique time where people are needing help. People are needing people to come in and be managers on their property, of their ranches, on their row crop farms. And because of that, and because the workforce is limited, they're willing to make some deals and like, hey, if you work for me, you can have your side acres and use our equipment and bump up your own salary. You may have to take a lower day salary, you may have to take a lower base salary, but they're willing to work with you to get you started yourself, and you can develop in your own. We're seeing that more and more on cattle ranches. We're seeing that in row crop industry. You just got to think a little bit different.
Yeah, I love that, and I really appreciate you bringing up all this transition with ag and just showing like how big we are and how much we can do, how many people we can serve at the same time, right? So I think that's really, really, really important. And on that note, so you talk about just get it started, right? So you get the passion, you get your big dreams, you want to get started. From your experience, like what is the best way of doing so, right? Should I just go get the biggest most expensive machine that I have right now, the shiniest one in a magazine or online, and just order it, because that's is this real secret, is the technology that I can afford that's going to make the difference, or like what is the special?
That's tough, you know, and that's where I say is you have to know what your risk appetite is, and you have to know where your passions are, and that's what makes it hard in agriculture. If you love just being behind the wheel of a tractor, if you love just being on horseback and checking cows, and you're not willing to do the bookwork part, you're not willing to do the glamorous part, then it may be your job should be to work for somebody else. Let them take some of the risk on, and that is perfectly okay. You know, you don't have to be the person that owns everything. There's a lot of income out there right now. There's a lot of opportunities right now for people to be, you know, farm managers, ranch managers, and stuff like that, and you don't have to do some of that. But at the same time, if you're looking to build that up, where you're getting the big equipment, if you're getting the capital needed to build your operation, I would say go out and find a team of people to help you be successful. We're all, you know, if we think from a leadership aspect, we're the sum of our surrounding group. You know, if you are the best person you know around, you need a better friend group. So I tell people, go out and make friends with the most successful person in town. Go make friends with the people that can lead you, guide you. You know, and a lot of times as young producers, you have some magic words in your pocket. And I tell college students this all the time. Your magic words are, I'm a college student, I want to learn something. And people will roll out the red carpet to help you, lead you, and guide you along that journey. So I would say do that. Go out and start building that support group. Go and talk to your banker, your person at Farm Credit that's a lender. Go and talk to your person at FSA. Go and talk to your extension office. If you haven't talked to everybody and know what you're getting into, there's still going to be a lot of surprises, but you're making a mistake because people want to help you.
And I love it. And I remember like a couple of times we have talked to before. You were talking about partnerships, right? We are collaborators. We're working together. We're not just like I'm offering a service, move on, good luck, that's it. Right. I think that's really, really important. Like, do you want to talk a little bit more about that too? Like, those relationships, how important they are, like with people that you trust. And
yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked about that because I'm in the lending business. I've been in the lending business for almost a decade now, and I find people come in and the first thing, they're very intimidated going in and talking to a lender. You know, for a lot of people, buying that first piece of property, they may work their whole life to it. It's scary. That first time, you know, people buying a house, you may do it once, twice, three times in your lifetime. It's intimidating. It's not muscle memory. It's not routine. But I tell people, and especially in ag business, go find that lender you feel comfortable with. I'm a great one to work with. I've met me. But go find that person you're comfortable working with, and start asking questions, and look at them as a business partner. If they're asking you a question, it's for a reason. They want to see you be successful. Your success is their success. In lending, especially agricultural lending, it's a business partner with an exit strategy. You know, we're not signing up to be your business partner in perpetuity. We want to see you succeed. And as somebody that's in this business, my dream is for you to pay me off and go out and be successful and change your family tree, find your legacy and put it out there forever. And hopefully I get to help the next generation do that as well.
I love that.
So you had mentioned that people, a lot of times, don't want to get in the books. So even if they were leasing, owning, whatever the case, like when they need to start creating a successful plan, mm-hmm. or an ag business plan, and you're talking about all of these partners, like Extension and the bank, what would you suggest that they do to create a successful plan?
So financial for one, but I would say build that business plan first. And everybody's like, well, what's the secret business plan? It's not that. It's the same things we've heard our entire life. Set SMART goals. You know, if you start out, what do I want my operation to look like? And you set those SMART goals, statistically, and don't quote me on this, you're X amount times more likely to succeed. You write them down, you're X amount more times more likely to succeed. Do a SWOT analysis on what you have around you, the surrounding aspects around you, what you can do in plan A, B, and C, what's going to work, what's not, what's your opportunities, what's your threats. If you start building that out, nothing can surprise you. I mean, you should constantly be looking around going, well, if this happens, this means that. If this happened, this means that. Because this is the other part, especially in the finances. Money is emotional as much as it is monetary. And if we wait until the emotional situation kicks in, we make bad decisions. I personally have done it. I've done stuff I regret to this day that has cost me money, both in my agriculture operation and as an individual, because I let it be emotional. Whereas if I have that plan written out and I know step one, step two, if this equals that, and I attack it, you know, very methodically, then when those things do happen, it's no longer emotion.
I think I have a follow-up question on that, right? So you're talking about business planning and just gives you some guidance, plan A, B, C. Who should be involved in a business planning? Should I do this by myself? Because I have the big dream. I'm the one that's leading it. How does it work? Should I do it alone?
No, you should get as many people as you can involved. But I would also be careful that you're not asking the wrong people. Once again, if you're the smartest person in the room, you need a better friend group. So I would go out and share your goals and see where people take them. I think the worst advice, you know, people give is, well, if I give you my advice, you should take it. That's not necessarily true. That's going to lead you into destruction. But you should surround yourself with people to give you advice. And remember, you're the manager on that. But don't do anything in a vacuum, you know, and know why people look at things different. One example I'll give you. This is a big one in my industry. I am a lender, all right? And we deal in finance. We deal in money and what the way we look at it. And we're all the time kind of in odds with accountants. Accountants are a trusted person on your team, and you need an accountant on your team. I'm an advocate for accountants. Let me just say that. But you need one that matches what you want to achieve. And lenders are the same way. You know, we go back and forth. A lot of accountants want you to mitigate your tax liability. Let's just put it like that. As a lender, I've got to show that you can make money. Those things don't always line up. But you have to be the one to manage that. Put both those people on your team. And then go to somebody else and tell your goals, because if you tell them, they're going to hold you responsible. And those are the big ones. We don't tell our goals. We put it all in our head. We don't tell our spouse. We don't tell the people that are in our life that can hold us accountable. And if they say that's a crazy goal, then say why. Don't get mad. Say why. And if they're wrong, they're wrong. If they're right, great. And let's go with that.
I will still want to talk a little bit more about goals, because I feel like whenever people are thinking about starting a business, there's so much noise out there, right? You get excited, have all these big plans. And like, how would you suggest people to take a step back, focus on a goal? And if they decide on a goal, like from all those options, they decide, okay, that's what I want to do. Can they change the plan? Do you see the people changing a lot? How's your experience with the people in that situation? Is that something fair to ask them?
Well, if they're not changing their plan as they gain more knowledge, they've already failed. You know, goals are one of those things that your first goal should be to gather information. Mm-hmm. You have to make yourself a subject matter expert. I cannot tell you as a lender the number of times I've had people walk in and go, I want to buy cows. And I go, why do you want to buy cows? Cows are cool. I like cows. It looks fun. I want to ride my horse. I want to have cows. And I'm like, you want a $300,000 loan because you like cows? And they go, yeah. Can you do that? And I'm like, what experience do you have? What are your plans here? And they're like, I'll get it worked out. So they're not building the knowledge base around them. They don't know what questions to ask. They're not building a business plan. They're looking at an industry and saying, I can make this much money. I can make this X amount of profit, and just jumping in. They don't know production cost. So what I go back to in saying those goals is first off, go out and have all those conversations with people that can lead you in that way. If you find people that say, I don't want to tell you that, go ask another person. You've got that magic saying, I'm a college student, I'm a beginning farmer, help me with this. Go to the extension office, say, who will truly give me answers? And ask them. and keep asking people and keep asking people. And if you got to sit down like it's your job, write a letter to everybody around saying, will you be on my team for this? Explain what you're trying to do, and then gather the knowledge, then start setting your goals. I think when it comes to goal setting, we're not doing the smart part of our goals, realistic, measurable, timely, accountability, all those things we've heard a thousand times. But we're not setting our goals from a point of knowledge. We're setting our goals from a point of hope. You know, if we just set them out there, you can check all the boxes, but is it a realistic goal? So that's the big thing I would say in goals. Set them from a point of knowledge, not from a point of hope.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, so I was thinking of that kind of because I was, as you were talking a minute ago, Robbie, about kind of common pitfalls that you might run into someone starting out. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I always saw from a spectator side was they would have a good year. And then instead of revisiting their plan, like I feel like I've learned so much just talking to you about like going back and revisiting your plan, your business plan. But, you know, what happens when you have a really good year and how can we avoid that pitfall of let's go out and buy 200 more head of cows because I just had a very profitable year. Like, what should people do to make sure that they don't fall into that?
That's a tough one. You know, in lending, in my business, the answer is always it depends. There's a million different information points that can direct that. But I'd say go back to your team. Talk to your accountant. Talk to everybody that's around you that you believe knows more than you know. But you still got to be the manager on that. You have to take responsibility for what you choose. But if you're having a good year, it goes back to what's your personal goals. Do I want to build a cash reserve? Do I want my working capital to be stronger? Do I want to have some more equity in my operation and pay down some debt? There's a lot of what ifs. Is it time to do some infrastructure repairs? Is it time to take some of that and make a down payment on land? And all those things lead to a thousand different questions. What am I eligible for if I have a young farmer program I can be in? Is there some cost share money out there in the agricultural grant space that changes those goals? What is the price of cattle doing? What is the futures market looking like? The same thing with corn, wheat, beans, sugar beets, whatever you're talking about. Explore what's around you and then start to make those decisions.
Fantastic. I really like what a great response. Tough question. Excellent response, Rob.
Well, thanks. I'm making it all up. I really don't know.
Do you see any conflict with those things about like what I want to do, what versus what I'm doing? As a lender, do you put those pieces together, or like, mm-hmm. how do you assist your clients with that, or your partners with that?
It's one of those questions. Once again, it depends. Oh, I know there's not a silver bullet answer for anything, and I'll go back to your risk appetite. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked with people in the past that as long as they've got enough money to cover the grocery bill that week, they'll leverage it out and they'll go out and buy more cows. They're willing to risk it all and lay it all on the line. Sometimes it works and then it pays off and they hit that one lick and it's fantastic and it's working. The other time it also comes back to, I've worked with people that's not risk takers. They're very slow, very methodical. You know, unless they can make every single dime pencil along with the family living and buying mama a new ring once a year, they're not going to do it. You know, we got to be sure we know who we're taking apart. And all those things go back into who's your life partner, who's your business partner, who's the people you're working with, and what are their risk appetites. You know, lenders are one that I'll use as an example. So two types of lenders in the world. You have collateral-based lenders and income-based lenders. We're an income-based lender. If you can't prove that you can pay it back with earnings, we're not going to be super let's go out there and make that loan. We want to work with you, absolutely, and there's space for that. There's other people. If you've got $1 million worth of property you can put up against loan, you may only show that you make $20 a year, but we'll loan you the money. And I'm not saying either one is right. Know that. But you got to know what kind of person you want to be and what kind of people you want to work with. You know, and I go back and say, whoever you're working with, be sure they align with your goals. They align with your vision, and they provide you comfort and advice where you can sleep at night, you know, when you can, where you can maintain your personal relationships, because that's what's really important.
I love it. And then you get on.
Yeah, no, I had kind of a follow-up question, because you talk about a team, and even though the person that owns a property or has a plan is the one steering the ship, but it kind of seems like you're a large leadership role in someone's vision and goals. So how might you help them through a challenge or challenges from you as a leader, like in their mission for what they want to accomplish? What might you do to help?
So the first thing I ask is show me your business plan that has the SWOT analysis, that has the goals, that has the advantages that you have, and tell me your 5-10 year goals, where you want to be, so I can understand where you're coming from. And then I start to ask, what's your backup plan? What will change this? You know, and that kind of falls in that SWOT analysis. And then I feel my role as an advisor a lot of time is to start asking the hard questions. What if? See where it's at. See where it's going. See what your threats are. Because my goal isn't to manage anything for anybody. It's just to be an ear and also a point of, I've seen this in the past, a point of experience. You know, where I'll use a farm purchase. A lot of people I work with, when it's a farm purchase, it's their first one. It's hard. I've made my first farm purchase personally, and you feel like you're just turning in the wind. You don't know which way you're going, and you've probably been working for this your entire life, and you're like, I'm going to mess this up. You know, so my goal as a leader and as an advisor in the lending industry is just start asking all the what-if questions, because that my experience as a lender, I've been through hundreds of these, whether you've been through one. And I don't mean that as a point of I know more than you, but I mean it as a point of this could happen. These are the pitfalls. This is where you could get hung up in this operation. This is where you could get hung up in this deal. And this is what it could mean for you long term. So it's,
yeah,
it's a lot to it. It's a lot of depends, but it's surrounding yourself with people with more knowledge than you.
A lot like a mentor.
I know, right? And then you got like the key word that I'm hearing is like relationships, right? Building that big relationship around you, people that will challenge you, not just agree with you. And like, even if they challenge you, you still feel supported, right? Doesn't feel like, oh man, nothing's gonna work. Now, this might not look the way you want right now. Let's consider these other options so we can get you where you wanna be. So I love that.
You know, and I'll go back with that. And this is where I tell you to set those goals and that business plan, but you gotta do a deep dive to yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, if you cannot take that criticism and realize people are coming to you from a point of caring and love and wanting to see you succeed, and you're going to take everything as a cut down, you're going to take everything as somebody trying to put you down, you got a long road to hoe in front of you. Because most people don't. Will you run into people that will? Absolutely. You can shake that off. But if you've got a lot of failed relationships, you're the most consistent thing. And you gotta know that about you.
We teach growth mindset. And I was just thinking about when you were talking about that, having a growth mindset going into that. So do you notice like people that come to the table with money? I mean, just saying that, like that sometimes they might be their biggest weakness because they think just because having the money up front that it's gonna make them successful? Yeah, that was something I was thinking about.
You know, it kind of, like anything, it depends on your knowledge base. You know, a lot of people with money that have money from the start usually understand how money works and understands how partnerships work. And at the end of the day, I'm in the money business. And I'm trying to help people succeed, but you've got to look at me as a partner, and I'm protecting my money, even though it's a company's money, but I've got to protect, so we're a cooperative, I've got to protect the cooperative's money. Then at the same time, I've had people that know nothing, that's never been around it, never had a loan, and they come in a lot of times thinking they know more than they do. And that's the hard conversation, like, it don't work this way. You're not even close to how this works. And then it gets kind of a point of pride. You're like, oh. And then they've got to go home and do more research, because you almost have to say, you don't know. And that's the harder part than, no, you can't have a loan right now.
We talked a lot about business planning and what's important. Can you give me like, what does a really good business planning look like from your perspective? And where people usually lacks or have the most difficulty getting it right? Like, and how can they kind of work around it?
That's a good question. The biggest weakness I've seen is playing the what if game. Mm-hmm. We all think that it's going to go really great all the time, and they haven't been stress tested. Mm-hmm. And the true statement is it's not. So it's how you handle those stressful situations that shows how your business plan works. So Dr. David Cole, who in our industry is a rock star, he's a Virginia Tech professor emeritus. If you ever get a chance to see him do a presentation, I recommend it. He likes to play the you died game. You know, so in your business plan, if you have business partners, as you're talking about it, just draw a name out of the center, and you died.
Like the old Oregon Trail game.
Yeah, and what he says that means, and I want to give him all the credit, I am not smart enough to come up with this, is, you know, if you're in a business meeting and you want to put in your 2 cents, too bad, you're dead. What do the rest of us do? And I think that's the biggest part of the business plan is, if everything about your business plan is contingent on you, you've already failed, especially after you've been there a few years. In agriculture, it's easy to get millions of dollars of assets organized, lined up. You may not own them free and clear, but you're still responsible for them. And if you're taken out of the situation, what happens then? Do you have a family that is relying on your income? And how will that look moving forward?
Seen that time and time again, especially with property values going up, and then something happens to the person that homesteaded the property, and then they're like, oh, it's above this many million dollars, so now you have to come up with taxes. So you see families getting really creative and buying siblings out for way under what that property, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different variables, but it's fun to watch families pre-plan for those situations.
It is fun to watch families pre-plan, but it's devastating. Yeah. And more often than not, I go talk to them, like, so what's the plan? We got a plan.
Oh.
What is it for your family? We got a plan. Mm-hmm. What's next steps? Dad says it's fine, and live in that space. And I could go in horror stories for hours that I've personally seen that it's not.
Family involved and emotions just get super sensitive topic to do it, but it's still super important. And we talk about succession and those relationships again, it's very easy to get emotional, not just about the money, because you're attached to the property, you're attached to that special truck right there, and it gets you. It is hard.
Yeah, and that's where I would say too, surround yourself with people that are willing to push you. You know, sometimes it's better to spend the money. If you and your family cannot have those conversations, if you're strength is not business planning, hire somebody else to help you with it. You will be money ahead. The simple one I will use, I'll go back to taxes. I work with people and they'll say, well, I do my own taxes to save money. Well, you're running $1 million operation here. Now's the time to get an accountant. If they don't do anything but check if you did your taxes right, don't leave money on the table or yourself open for an audit or whatever could come in because you wanted to save $100.
Getting back to the beginning of our conversation, we're saying, like, yes, ag is like it's just so much bigger. We see so many people with different backgrounds, different ideas of like how they can be contributing to ag, how they can get involved to it. So have you seen a lot of people, not just like beginning into the ag, mm-hmm. but people that have been in the ag for a little while, but now they want to transition to some of those different segments of ag?
Absolutely. You know, large agriculture gets a bad name. You know, because there's a lot of people that don't understand it, and they want to say, oh, environmental this. They want to say confinement operation that. They want to throw whatever spears are out there because of lack of understanding. But the truth about agriculture is most any agriculturalist you want to work with just wants to find a profit. If the profit is in direct consumer beef, they're going to seek it out and find a way to do it if they can make it pencil. You know, traditional agriculture is traditional because it's the most effective right now. It's the most efficient right now. So we're seeing people move wherever they can because it is harder, you know, to buy land. Land values are through the roof. You know, interest rates are higher right now than most the younger folks have ever seen them. Mm-hmm. you know, in the past 20 years since we look at the housing crisis. And it's funny, I talk to a lot of older producers, and they're like, oh, back in my day, interest rates were 14%. And I'll go back and I'll tell people, well, you weren't competing with everybody across the world to buy the farm next to you. You're competing with two or three people in town. So it's just different. It's not harder. It's not easier. It's just different. And we have to have that different mindset in producing a product. And we are seeing the older folks do that. The more established, let's not say older, you know, so, but the more established folks. And it really goes back to succession. And I tell people this all the time. When you're going back to your family farm or ranch, you need to go back with a skill set other than what mom and dad has. You know, you need to be able to work on a piece of equipment. You need to be a veterinary expert. You need to have a marketing expertise. And that's what I really tell people. Go off the farm or ranch, work for a little while, and bring back something special. They already know what they know how to do. What do you got to offer if you want to produce your own income and your own family off that same parcel of ground?
That's great. I'm so excited. My follow-up question goes with this perfectly. So what are some ways to drive innovation and change in the ag industry right now, because you listed some serious challenges? So what would be some ways to drive innovation in that sector?
Ooh, so this is the toughest one we see for everybody now. It's get off the farm or ranch and see what's out there. You need to go to the conferences. You need to go and explore what's out there. Pay the money. Go to whatever you can find to broaden your horizons. You know, we've really seen that kind of stop. And people are kind of just looking around going, well, maybe this will work. We are seeing a little bit more come in because of YouTube and Facebook. You fall down those rabbit holes, but that's so surface area. You've got to get out, make the connections, build the relationships of people you can ask hard questions to. I tell people all the time, most likely you're not going to ask financial questions to the farmer or rancher right next to you, because at the end of the day, as much as we all get along and we've got each other's back, when the other piece of property next to both of us come for sale, we're kind of competing against it. You know, somebody 200 miles away, probably not competing against that. They're going to be a little bit more open and share some of those ideas. But it's your responsibility to find out what that leading edge is. And odds are you're not going to find it sitting on the same parcel of ground every day.
Yeah, that's something just near and dear to my heart, because I would see people back home not be able to pencil, you know, their cattle production, so they would lease their ground, mm-hmm. And trying to maintain the traditional farming and ranching. And then you'd see a farm or a ranch 50 miles down the road up in the, you know, beautiful Bitterroot Valley that now has a pumpkin patch and a tour, and they're bringing schools in for tours. And it's this almost, I would say, a traditional battle for some people that have homesteaded that property. Because, you know, and maybe I'm wrong, but kind of giving up those traditional ways. But in fact, they're innovating it to make it successful in today's age.
I agree with that 1,000%. And it is hard. You know, I play with the outside factors. If you're going to do a pumpkin patch, you've got to have more on-farm help. If you're going to have the corn maze, you've got to have more people to rely on, because you still have a traditional cattle herd, whatever it looks like. You know, and maybe that is your key to bring somebody back on the farm full time, whether it's a family member or not. But they have to bring something, and that can be the alleyway to get there, offset some of that, supplement some of that income, and move to the next steps.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
And on that same note, like, you talk about like relationships with your neighbors or community overall. How do you think is like, well, I won't say the best ways, but like good strategies for you. If I'm starting right now and I don't have this relationship, I don't know who to contact, or I just bought this property, like how can I start building this networking for the innovation, for the support that I want to? And I know it depends. I can see in your eyes. but I just like, for people that are feeling lost right now, they really want to start, like how would you suggest them to go about it?
This is one I'm passionate about. There are professional organizations for almost anything in the world, whether it's a cattlemen's association, a corn growers association, a grain growers association. Even if you don't have one in the county, There's one nationally that you can be a member of that's always hosting a conference. Start out there. Go to your local extension office and say, what meetings do you have? Even if you're trying to be in traditional agriculture, go to the extension office. Say, do you have a gardeners association? Just somewhere you can start meeting people and building that network. And that can open up the doors more than anything. But I'll lean back on these professional organizations. They are begging for people to come in and help right now. I don't know one organization right now are sitting around like, we got people waiting in the wings to take on leadership roles here. We're begging for them everywhere. Get involved, learn the ropes, learn what the industry needs, and be an advocate. And if you get involved, you will open up those doors, you will meet people, and not only locally, but across the nation and potentially across the world. I cannot tell you the number of times. So I'm from Western Kentucky. I'm living in central Wyoming right now, but I've been somewhere in name any state in the union right now, and I've said, oh, you know so-and-so? And we live in a small world, especially in agriculture, but any business industry, you run in the same circles. You know people, and once they know that you're willing to help, once they know you're willing to build that network and take an active part in the industry, your name will start to grow and you'll get out there.
I love it.
Yeah, you mentioned the gardeners, the master gardeners and extension. They are the best. I mean, you can have a bad crop year and send them your soil, and they'll tell you, you know, oh, your pH level was this, and, you know, you need to do this to your crop for next year, and most of the time for free because they do just want to help.
And that's a great thing. People are good people. I mean, we get cynical. If you stay on Facebook and read the news, that'll bring you down. I'm guilty of it.
No, real relationships, right? You had to go outside and talk to people. You will see the best of them. Yeah, the internet doesn't help with that.
Yeah, you got to get out. And they want to help, and they will lead you and go out of your way to get you where you want to be.
Absolutely. Anything that we forgot to ask, or do you think is important about building those relationships, like getting the confidence and that good advice that you need to become to start your project in ag or just like life overall? Like, do anything that we maybe oversaw in this conversation so far?
I was talking to a college student out of UW yesterday, and we were kind of having conversations about that. And my biggest advice is quit making assumptions. Start asking questions and listen twice as much as you talk, as the old adage goes. And what do you wish you'd have known? What should I shape my life like? And don't so much focus on the job or the goal, but find what's going to build the best life for you. And if you're not sure what that answer is, be sure you're asking the right questions first, and that will lead to the answer. And I think that's where we make the mistakes in leadership. I think that's where we make the mistakes in agriculture. We think this is the answer. And we're in a time and space where this isn't maybe the right answer every time. It all depends.
Oh, yeah.
start finding what other questions I need to be asking.
Well, you're making me want to make an appointment with you now. My husband and I have been talking about getting a small little farm piece down south somewhere and possibly leasing it out, you know, because it's going to be several years before we get down there. But taking some of that cash and investing now instead of waiting. And, of course, we think we know the answer, like, oh, that's a bad idea. But now you're making me think we should come talk to you. I'm sure our listeners will be doing the same
thing. And that's the goal. Like, we want people to feel comfortable, right? If it is scary. Like, Robbie was talking about, like, it's not the kind of thing you do with, like, every day. Like, you do, like, a couple times in a lifetime. Most people, at least. So it is, I think, so important that we can talk about it and say, hey, it can be scary. You're not alone. We have people that with a lot of knowledge and passion about it here to support you. So I really appreciate having this opportunity to have these conversations too. So,
you know, something else I would add to that is have those conversations early. I'll talk about lending for just a second, but I have people walk in my office on a regular basis and like, I want to buy a piece of land today. I've been thinking about it my entire life, but I want to buy it today. I just won the auction. I won the auction. You didn't win the auction. You just had the highest bid. That meant you wanted it more than anybody else around. So you're automatically a little behind right then. But if it's a 10-year goal, 5-year goal, get in somebody's office and start talking now. What do I need to do along the way? And I don't care if it's just agriculture. I don't care if it's just lending. Whatever your long-term goal is, You need to know the ins and outs years and years in advance. Give yourself plenty of runway to change trajectory. Give yourself plenty of time to make a new plan, and just build your own ideas and see what changes come. It may all be different by the time the 5 years get there. But if you're a subject matter expert, because of that's your own choosing, and you have so much knowledge at your fingertips anymore, and you have so many people willing to help you, you will be more successful because of it. I cannot guarantee success. Nothing can. But your odds of success are exponentially higher.
Great. That was really good.
Yeah. So I think you kind of started to touch on our ending question, Robbie, was if you could look back and if there were some things that you wish you had known when starting in the ag industry, how would that knowledge have shaped your path differently? So I feel like you kind of just answered part of it by starting ahead of time. And now I'm really thinking we need to make an appointment tomorrow.
So I'll use this as an example. I had some people in my life that I thought were the smartest people I knew. And I never asked myself why. And they are very intelligent. They've been very successful in their own right, but weren't necessarily in the field that I wanted to be in. And I asked them questions along the way. And if I would have, and at times I took the advice and it has set me back. I never asked myself, why do I think they're the smartest people in this field, for one? And I never asked myself why I think they're subject matter experts. And they are very smart in their field, not where I wanted to be. I didn't surround myself with the right team. I didn't go out and learn and know what I was getting myself into, because I didn't know what questions to ask. The biggest point of get on go I would give anybody is start learning what questions to ask. And that is uncomfortable, because you don't know where to start. And you gotta look dumb. I mean, that's the only way I know to put it. But if you're not willing to do that, you can either do it in the front end where it doesn't cost you a lot, or you can do it in the back end where it costs you a legacy potentially. But know what questions to ask. Don't assume you know anything. And surround yourself with people that will know more than you do. How do you find those? Keep asking. Beg people, borrow from people, go to industry conferences. And even the people you think you know, think about somebody that would disagree with them and go ask them why you would disagree. Don't surround yourself in this echo chamber. Look for people that will change your mind. And if you still believe you're right after you've talked to them, more power to you.
I love it. I love it. I think it's so important that we learn that conflict is part of the deal. It can be healthy, right? And then being open to it and knowing how to give people advice or deal with the conflict, I think is so important. And I think I agree with you, because sometimes it's just easy to assume we know everything. And then just because you didn't ask the simple question like 5 years ago, right now you're like in this. Yeah, I love it. I really appreciate this advice.
Absolutely. And being confident, taking all of those words of wisdom and deciding what is going to work best for your mission, and confident to go back to that family member that homesteaded on that ranch and say, that was great advice, but I think I'm going to do this, and this is why. And just standing by your word just like they did 100 years ago.
And be confident to be wrong. Being wrong is okay. But if you're going to be wrong fast. You know, be willing to admit that it's not working. Be willing to fail fast and be like, all right, I lost a few dollars here. And move on to what your next plan is.
I love that. Like, just as an opportunity to learn, grow, move on, do better next
and
time.
And own it.
Yes,
yeah.
Own it. Yes,
own
yes,
it that. And say, this is what I need to do. You know, you have no control over the market. No control over how much your cow is sold for that month. But, I mean, you can own your next decision. Maybe I'll only sell 50 instead of 100, you know, during a low time.
No, yes, absolutely. I'm married. I learned how to be wrong at the time.
That's good. Hugo, that is good.
Just kidding. I love you, honey.
My wife tells me I'm still learning that lesson. Yeah. I had hair when we met. She knocked it all off.
No, but it is. And again, this is important. It shows, again, the relationship with your partners, mm-hmm. with your family, with the people you're partnering with, like someone you see as a mentor, the people you're going to be working with, in the lender, bankers, education, everything. Those relationships are really important. Being humble, being open-minded, and, yeah, just asking questions, not to be right or just to confirm, but just for yourself to grow. So,
yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Robbie, thank you so much for joining us. This has been wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad y'all asked me. Have me back anytime. We can talk about anything. I'll make stuff up all day long.
We will. We'll bring you back. I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We really appreciate
it. Yes, thank you.
See you next time.